The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
All right, guys, welcome into another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast brought to you by the Sports Drink. Go check them out at @sportsdrink on Instagram. And check their website out, www.sportsdrink.org. But let's get to the show. I'm not re-recording this because, you know, I screwed up. I'm driving and I'm heading to the office today just for a little bit. I have some things I need to do, and it's been a while since I've actually podcasted while driving, so I'm going to do it and we'll see what happens. I hope you guys had a great week. It's Friday. I had to re-record this because I hope you guys enjoyed the Super Bowl. I sure didn't. I have some stories to talk about that. First of all, the Hall of Fame was introduced, and this is why I'm re-recording this, because I was going to post another episode, but I just disregarded because I left out some things. Well, more importantly, Pitt's star cornerback Darrell Revis gets inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And if you look at the Hall of Fame class, it was kind of more of a defensive class, you know. I mean, you did have Joe Thomas getting in, but there were some receivers, some offensive players that got left out. I mean, well, Hines Ward wasn't even a finalist, I don't think. Click, click, click. Ah, yes, the old turn signal while podcasting. Like old times. I mean, he wasn't even a finalist. Andre Johnson was, and of course, he didn't get in. I think he eventually gets in. I'm not surprised Revis got in. Part of me thought he would not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think mainly because I look at his stats more than anything, and you can't always do that. I mean, his INT numbers, obviously, they're not bad, but I think you have to look at what he did overall as a player. You know, he was hard to throw against, and he was a very dominant player in his time. And a rock just hit my windshield. But no marks. That's good. He was very dominant in the time he was there. I mean, Revis Island was a big thing. That's all we talked about was Revis Island, who he was shutting down, and all that happy stuff. But, you know, Pitt's got them, I think, at least they're tied for fourth for most players in the Hall of Fame. Eventually, more will be getting in. Larry Fitzgerald will get it. Larry's obviously going to be in pretty soon. In a few years, I think he'll be first ballot. If Larry had actually a decent quarterback his whole career, I think his receiving stats would be a lot bigger than what they were. I think he would at least, he was creeping up on Jerry Rice, I think, on the receptions mark. I think he would have eclipsed that mark. And maybe if he would have stayed playing a few more years, he could have actually gotten it. But I think he realized his time was up. And on top of that, I think he did have COVID. And maybe that got him to reevaluate, you know, some things. And maybe that's why he retired. There is more than just football. And I think he looks like he's doing pretty good. LeSean McCoy is another one, and I still don't know about him, if he's going to be first ballot or not. I doubt it. in a short, I mean, he was one of the top players in, I guess, in the 2010s. Very dominant running back. The knock on him is he played on some bad teams. I mean, he played on some mediocre Buffalo teams, and pretty much Eagles were, I think, were mediocre as well. I mean, I think he played towards the end of the Andy Reid era. And, I mean, Andy did have some decent teams towards the end. But, you know, it faded. And, of course, he had the Chip Kelly era. Him and Chip didn't get along. He ends up on the Bills being traded. Then he goes to Kansas City and Tampa Bay. And I think he got two rings out of that. The one year he went, he got one with Brady, and then he got one with Reed. And I thought he had more gas in his tank, you know, to command a, you know, a bigger role, but it just, you know, it just didn't happen for him. And he had some off the field stuff as well, towards the end of his career with Buffalo. But, yeah, those two definitely are going to get in. I mean, we can't forget about Aaron Donald as well. He's going to get in. So, I mean, three more guys are going to get there. I don't think Tyler Boyd will, but, I mean, he's had a pretty productive career. It's just the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and it's kind of hard to compete for catches with those two guys. But let's get to the Super Bowl. Now, I have my yearly tradition of going to the same bar every year. I was playing on that. Well, my plan was to go to a different bar. And although they don't have a bar menu, they order food from the pizza place across, you know, next door to them. So, I mean, some pizza and beer didn't sound too bad to me. But I got in the bar, and I mean, it's a very chill bar, but it was packed for the Super Bowl this time, and there was no place to sit. There were like three open bar seats, and some guy had post-it notes on him as he was reserving them for his friends. I got kind of annoyed by that. I mean, post-it notes on bar chairs. I just found that annoying. And on top of that, they had two bartenders. And these bartenders seemed overwhelmed with the demand. And I was like, well, I'm going to be waiting a while for a drink. The game's about to start. I'm going to leave. So I left. I went to the same bar you usually go to. They had free hot dogs and nachos, which you can't go wrong with that. Although the buns were kind of like, they tasted like they've been out all day. But anyways, it was still edible. And I tried to sit this one table, and of course, it had a thing on it saying it reserved. And the irony about this thing is that this table was not occupied the entire Super Bowl. Nobody sat in it. It was just reserved. And I'm wondering if the people that were sitting behind that table, maybe they did that so nobody was sitting in front of them. Which would be kind of weird because there's so many TVs around. You can go anywhere. But I did find, some open seats at the bar. And I sat there and enjoyed myself for most of the game. Although my only complaint was the first beer I had no carbonation in it whatsoever. It was like flat. It kind of sucked, and I had to switch up, and I had two more drinks, and I was like, I'm fucking out of here. I left around third quarter. I left around the time the Eagles were kicking the field goal to go up. And I remember I was listening to the sports gambling radio station that I listen to usually, all the time, and they were saying, oh, Eagles are selling for the field goal. This is the kiss of death. You should let Jalen Hurts finish the drive. Because I think it was like, it was going to put them up 27-21, I believe. Because, yeah, it ended up being the one kiss of death because Jalen was thrashing that Chiefs defense the whole game. And you take the ball out of his hands. But I did get home and finish watching the game. And, of course, the ending didn't really sit well with me at all. I mean, yeah, it was a blatant, obvious hold, but it just felt like it was tic-tac, and it's something you just don't call. But we all can't have the endings we want. I think the Chiefs were going to win that game one way or another. Maybe, maybe not, but that's what it felt like. And, you know, there's some other calls that got questioned. The Devonta Smith catch that got called back. To me, that play wasn't that big of a deal at the time because the Eagles were up 20, the Eagles were still up. They were up 24-14 at the half. Mahomes, he got hurt and he re-injured his leg. He was barely walking. I mean, he was basically Daniel LaRusso at the All Valley after getting his leg swept. It didn't look good. And I don't think we were all too worried about the second half. We all thought the Eagles were in control, and pretty much it looked like it was their game to lose. They were about to embarrass the Eagles. I felt that that Devonta Smith, that got called back. The league did that to prevent the Chiefs from getting embarrassed because they were about to. But then, the second half was quite different. Pat Mahomes obviously got the Mr. Miyagi treatment because he was, you know, it's like he got a second win. I'm sure he got some sort of injection or whatever, you know, to take the numb the pain or whatnot. Maybe the trainers worked on him. But he was a completely different player in the second half. And, of course, halftime is a lot longer. It's 40 minutes. Plenty of time to recuperate. And, you know, the Chiefs scored the opening drive, and then it became, you know, back and forth. And the Eagles just had no answer for them. And they just, you know... Jalen Hurts had a great game, but he had to be 100% perfect on this. You know, he wasn't. He had the fumble six. That was a killer. But overall, he had a great game. They couldn't stop him. I mean, he took the Eagles' offense on his back, and I mean, I gave him a hard time early in the year. I thought he was just a good quarterback when they were only down 20 points. But that's why I'm not coaching. That's why I don't work in any of these type of publications and whatnot. I'm just a dude that just randomly puts on a podcast and maybe, you know, whatever. The halftime show with Rihanna, that show is basically for people who were very hardcore fans of her, or people that loved it because you don't want to put, you know, a negative opinion on social media because in fear of people disagreeing with you, because, you know, social media tends to be like high school sometimes with these type of things. And I just thought it was underwhelming. I thought it was worse than J-Lo and Shakira, and their only redeeming factor was them, you know, basically twerking on stage. That was really about it. But Rihanna was pregnant, and that could have played into it as well. You know, it's kind of, you know, when you're pregnant, it's definitely kind of hard to put any. It's hard to move around, and it's also hard to put as much energy as you want into a performance. But also, a lot of her songs that are really good have features on them and collabs or whatnot. And it was just her being solo. I mean, I was waiting for somebody to come out to perform, you know. When she was singing Run This Town, I was thinking Jay-Z or Kanye was going to come out. It was just her. And maybe that's what she requested, was just her and her only. But, you know, it kind of was just very stale. It just did nothing for me. And last year's performance was really good. I mean, there's been some good performances, but I mean, I was very hard on The Weeknd when he performed. I mean, I don't hate the guy or his music. I just didn't like it. But it's making me wondering if I should go and rewatch that to see maybe if it was, you know, maybe it was actually better than what I thought it was. But as the Super Bowl aftermath happened, Juju Smith-Schuster spent his time trolling. And I didn't expect that from him. I didn't expect him to become an insufferable asshole because he got a ring. Unless those guys really did something to piss him off, that's all I can think about. I mean, Mark Mann didn't mention that he got better and more productive as he stopped doing TikToks, because AJ Brown called him out, saying his career was on the mend until Mahomes saved him. I think, and Mark Mann mentioned that, you know, like I said before, that his production, he was doing less TikToks. I think maybe that contract was kind of a water in the face for him, because he's in his mid-20s. And if you remember Mike Tomlin on the Pivot interview, he said that some players, when their time is up, sometimes what's going around them buys them time. Sometimes what's going around them chews up their time. And I think the latter was the issue with Juju, because he tried to go in the free agent market. Nothing was there. Steelers signed him for a 1-year deal. And he got hurt. He got hurt, and we didn't see much of him. Then he signs with the Chiefs for a 1-year, $6 million deal. And I think at the end of the day, he probably realized that his career is probably at the end of it. Especially if you're in your mid-20s signing a $6 million deal and it's a 1-year. That's probably not a good thing. And I'm sure maybe he makes money as a TikTok or whatever type of influencer. But I'm sure it doesn't pay much as being an NFL wide receiver. So I think he had to actually put more focus into his craft than his actual brand, which whatever, I'm not sure what his brand is anymore. If he even has a brand, for that matter. That's all I think. That's one thing I can think of with him. That's it. As for Pitt Hoops, it was nice to see them wallop Boston College, and they got 3 games left on our schedule. We'd love to see them finish 22-7. They're the top team in the country against the spread. They're 19-6-1. Alan Saunders mentioned they're, I think, 12-2 straight up, I believe, as favorites, or 10-2, 1-2. But in their last 10 games, they're 8-2 against the spread as well. I mean, if you love gambling, I would definitely look at them. I mean, of course, the money line won't be great for these games, but take their money lines and parlay them into something. Which also is another hilarious thing, because I saw a guy advertising his $20 to 100K challenge for gambling, and he supposedly did it the week before. This week, he got one pick right and advertised it, but then his next two bets fell flat. And when you develop a following because you've, you know, made got some picks right, you get picks wrong, people will dump on you. So now I read that this person in particular is now taking a break and won't gamble for a few days or make picks, which is probably the right thing to do. I mean, if you're in a losing streak with gambling, I'm sure it goes to your head. And it's best to walk away than try to. Because after a while, you just throw darts against the wall, hoping they hit targets. Now go into some other stuff. As we covered the Super Bowl, talked about the bar where I bitched and moaned about the post-its on the bar things. Maybe because I'm 43 and I'm becoming this old man yelling at the cloud. I mean, I understand you want to reserve seats, but I just found that post-it stuff is annoying as hell. Oh, well. Then again, I'm doing a podcast at 43. And I should probably find something else better to do my next year or two. Yeah, we'll see. But, the Grammys happened, and I want to talk about this because this was interesting. Song of the Year, or no, Record of the Year and Album of the Year, Adele was favored in both of those. And, of course, I listened to that album out of curiosity. I mean, of course, she had to put it out, obviously, as I'm finishing my divorce, and nothing like your ex driving up to your, dropping the kids off with Adele, that new Adele album blasting. Thanks Adele for that. But Bruce, but if you're a guy going through that like I am, I mean, a good answer to that is the Bruce Springsteen Tunnel of Love album. If you're going through a divorce, like myself, separation and all that, that's a good album to listen to. Gotta love breakup albums or breakup songs. Yeah, I have to thank her for that. But she was a favorite in all these, and I figured Beyonce would win Album of the Year because she was due. I mean, she's now the most decorated person in the Grammys. She's won so many awards. She's 32 awards, I think. She's never won Album of the Year. And, of course, I think both times. I think at least two of the times she got shut out by Adele. Which I thought, I thought she should have won for the Lemonade album. Because I just felt like the Adele album that won that year, It was the same repetitive crap as the first one. And obviously it didn't. But I obviously didn't. I really didn't think she was going to win it this year at all. Although she was due. I felt she was. I thought that would be a big reason to give it to her. But it really just, it was basically a it was basically taking an early 90s club album for the most, and advertising it as something new and fresh. At least that's why I felt like it was. I listened to it and I just didn't that album basically was for hardcore fans for the most part. I did listen to Lizzo's album before the Grammys. I felt that she wasn't going to go away empty-handed. She was going to win a big award. And she, her, one of her songs won, it won Record of the Year. And she was like a plus 27,500, I believe, to win that award. I think Adele was like minus 180, I think, to win that, I believe. And a $10 bet on Lizzo would have won you $275. But I think, when Bonnie Raitt won Song of the Year, that's when I realized this whole thing was going to take a weird turn. Because if she's winning Song of the Year, Record of the Year was going to be completely different, which it was. Album of the Year, obviously, Harry Styles wins. I did actually listen to it that night, the Grammys, out of curiosity. You know, when I'm out having my cigar, usually I'll put on something, and a lot of those songs made, I remember hearing them on the radio, and they were, you know, obviously popular. I can see why he won it. But, anyways, we'll close out here. I'm not sure what this person's doing behind me. I'm not sure what their end game is. They keep changing freaking lanes, and now they're in the wrong lane. Dude, your phone has a GPS. I mean, Android iPhones have map apps where it literally directs you where to go. There's the Waze app. I mean, and it tells you what lane to be in a lot of the times. Because, I mean, if you're making a right turn, it's quite obvious you got to be in the right-hand lane. But these days, it doesn't matter what lane you're in. People just turn anyway. But this person is doing the most and, quite frankly, needs to do something with themselves. I don't know. Anyways, guys, I'm almost in the town. I'll upload this later. I don't know why I'm saying this, because this is not even freaking live. Oh, well, how to pick, guys.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.